Welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are a group of passionate individuals who are coaches and mentors here to help inspire, guide, and support you on your journey of wholeness. We know that the journey of wholeness is a lifelong pursuit, and we are thrilled to join you in your journey. We are passionate about sharing our life lessons, wisdom, and knowledge to help you to transform your life. We focus on teaching principles of truth, supporting you in applying those truths, and helping you to live a life full of joy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. I'm Jackie, and I'm here with Amy today.
Hi.
Hello. We are really excited to share a really beautiful practice with you today on how to deepen your process and your practice with gratitude. Amy and I have been talking over the last many months, but ultimately the last couple of weeks, and we have some information that we feel like would be really helpful for you. And this information comes from, what do we call it? I mean, there's a book called Nonviolent Communication, but how do you describe the rest of it?
Well, Marshall Rosenberg, who wrote Nonviolent Communication, also did a series of trainings, and he taught this particular way of gratitude in one of those trainings, and it's just how he practiced gratitude. He shared it as one example, so it's not the end-all, be-all of gratitude, but it is a new way to think about it, and I found that practicing it really helped deepen my gratitude, and I think that it will be beneficial for others to hear the concepts that he teaching the principles behind why this gratitude goes a little bit deeper.
Very cool. Cool. So if this is the first time you're hearing about the words nonviolent communication, it's a philosophy for us to be able to communicate with ourselves as well as with other people from a space of peace and compassion and love rather than struggle and violence is what they talk about in their teachings, and it's a really phenomenal tool to add into our lives. Anyway,
you'll hear much more from us about nonviolent communication.
Absolutely. So we wanted to clarify a couple of things because nonviolent communication has some specific wordings about principles that they teach. So we wanted to help to clarify some of those things because we are going to utilize their language as we share this practice with you today. So, Amy, what are some of the language pieces from nonviolent communication that would be helpful for us to dive into to understand a little bit better?
So, nonviolent communication centers around feelings and needs. So you'll hear that a lot whenever you're discussing nonviolent communication, and particularly today, we're going to talk about the phrase acting in a way that contributes meaningfully to life. And if you sit with that wording, it makes sense at a certain level just naturally, right?
Sure.
But nonviolent communication, we can act and speak and feel in our hearts in ways that draw us closer to others. And the wording there that I refer back to often is life enhancing. So again, another way to talk about that, contributing meaningfully to others' lives or other people's lives. The flip side of that would be life alienating. And so those things that create more of a void between people.
Mm, right. Those moments when you're like, so-and-so just said this, and you just kind of feel, like, things are not so happy between the two of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost a felt.
Yes.
If not physical space, an emotional withdrawal.
Yes.
So when we're contributing to our life or to other people's lives, it's often in the name of getting needs met.
Mm.
And that's because the feelings that result from our needs being met are those that are generally referred to as the positive feelings.
Mm.
We feel the peace, the love, the connectedness, the safety, these, just mixed up some needs and feelings in there together. But as our need for safety is met, we have piece, right? You know, as an example.
Yeah.
And we feel a similar boost in positivity as we contribute to other people's needs getting met, especially if we know that it's specifically tied to their needs.
Because
mm-hmm. We can do an action that would most likely meet their need, but if we reflect on the fact that it actually does, or they confirm for us that it does, that there's some positive emotions that result.
Cool.
So I think as long as our listeners have a clear idea of, you know, feelings and needs being really essential, the awareness around them and getting those needs met, that, and then the idea of having it be life-enhancing and contributing meaningfully to life, those things will help this gratitude exercise make more sense.
Cool. Awesome. I love that. And as you talk about, like, the life-enhancing side of things, I think as we were talking before we recorded, I was just kind of pondering about, what does that mean? Like, what does that actually mean in my life, right? And it's when I feel, in my language, like I said before, it's like I feel some sort of an expansion in my heart space. So like, there's just more of that thing than there was before, and that to me is a sign that I'm engaging in life enhancing habits or practices or language or whatever it is, where it's like, oh good, like I feel an expansion, like I feel more of something good. And it's usually some sort of a positive result is what I'm noticing. So those are some of my things to help me understand if this is life enhancing or if it's that life alienating process that Amy talked about from nonviolent communication, which is like, oh, there's a void there, or there's a separation or a distance, or like something's missing, you know. But to me, that's what life alienating things feel like, or like my, like criticism or judgment. Like those are really common examples of life alienating experiences or communication. So,
yes.
Cool. Okay. So we're talking about gratitude today, right? So Amy has this really beautiful practice for us that she learned from some of the teachings from Marshall Rosenberg from Nonviolent Communication. And there's so much that can be said about gratitude, right? So as we talked about this beautiful practice, I thought such a great way to share this with you guys through a podcast episode. But the reason why we wanted to drill into this a little bit more is because so often in our society and our world, like sometimes it's even just a struggle to get people to focus on gratitude in the first place, right? And then oftentimes when people choose gratitude, oftentimes it seems a little superficial in some ways, right?
Yeah.
We do tend to stay on the surface. I think it's just our human nature. And that's one of the purposes of us teaching these principles in the Journey of Wholeness, is to help people to deepen these things and to help enhance the things that we're already aware of. So like, if you were not born yesterday, then we know that gratitude is a good thing to focus on, right? But so often it does stay on the surface. And so when Amy presented this to me, I was like, oh, that's so good. That's so good. So we'd love to share this practice with you at this point to help you enhance your ability to sink into gratitude.
Yeah. So I think our usual practice of gratitude, like you said, is that superficial. It's kind of general and it's really fast. Like, I'm really grateful for food. I hear this one from my kids and I believe them. They are so grateful for food.
Right? Me too.
But this we're going to teach you a really simple process that will make gratitude a little bit more like a savored experience. It's really tied to those feelings and needs, and thus goes just a little bit deeper. So to do this, I'm going to ask you to think of just the last 24 hours and identify an instance where life was contributed to, right? Like in what way was life enriched in the last 24 hours? Now, this could be in a variety of scenarios. It could be your own life that was enriched, and that could be by something you did on your behalf that enriched your life. Those are valuable things to pause and feel that there was some contribution made to your own well-being in that moment. Another thing could be that it was for your life, but done by another person, that somebody contributed to your wellness. And then another option would be that you did something to contribute meaningfully to someone else's life. So any of those options, just reflect on your day. Was it your own life that was enriched, someone else's? And pick an event. Usually what happens is that we lived that event and moved on, but we're intentionally creating the space to reflect on that event. And so your next step then is to pay attention to the feelings that come up for you now as you remember that instance. And as Marshall says in the podcast, you know, and then draw a little flower. And the purpose, you know, he doesn't say this in his podcast, isn't to draw the flower necessarily. It's to allow that feeling to rest with you for a moment. Then the next step is to remember or to tie the event and those feelings to what needs of yours were being met in the moment. So you might think of one need that was specifically met. You might think of three or four. And then you're going to do it again. You're going to draw a flower. Draw a flower. Okay. Let those needs that were met sink into you a little bit more fully. Marinate in it just a moment. So let's take a moment and go through these steps, creating space for this practice to happen right now. It'll take 2 minutes. Go ahead and take a deep breath and consider the last 24 hours of your life. And recall an event, something that contributed meaningfully to life. It could be something that contributed to your life, or it could be how you contributed to another person's life. Hold this memory in your mind and notice the feelings that come up as you remember it. One feeling may be dominant, or you may notice 3, 4 feelings showing up in response to this memory. And as Marshall taught, take a moment to draw a flower, however you choose to practice that. There be a couple deep breaths, just focusing your attention on your heart space, actually drawing a flower, doodling some swirls. The activity itself is not the important part. It's allowing it to be somewhat of a meditative experience. Let that sit with you for a moment. And then with that event and those feelings in mind, what needs were met of yours? Or what, in what way did you meet the needs of another person? Be specific here. What need was met? Again, you may think of one really clear need. You may think of three or more. And then draw a flower as you sit with those needs and feelings and the memory of that event. And that's it. As you contemplate the whole thing, the event, the feelings and the needs, and you relish in it by drawing a flower, you allow yourself to still yourself long enough to actually feel the effects of that action, to feel the goodness, the positive feelings that come from needs being met. And you know, every time I've done this, it quite literally shifts the memory and makes it more both memorable and more meaningful as I've done it.
That's so powerful. That's so powerful. So it's almost like, as we talk about getting people into a gratitude practice, this is the analogy that's coming to me right now, and if you have never met me before, I am the queen of analogies. They just help me to make sense of truth, right? But it's like this analogy is coming to me of helping people to get into a gratitude practice is almost like teaching them how to get into a car and drive down the road or on the freeway or something. And it's like, yeah, we're getting somewhere. Like, we're creating some positive momentum in our lives. But oftentimes when you're on the freeway, you miss so many of the beautiful details that are surrounding you because you're just going 65 miles an hour, and that's really fast, you know? You don't slow down. You're not, that's not the point of being on the freeway.
You focus on the destination and the progress instead of the presence of that.
Yes, exactly. And I think this practice that Amy just described to us, sort of like pick one event that happened in your recent life, bring it to mind, like look into what feelings did you experience in that moment. And if you need help identifying feelings as well as needs, there's all sorts of like charts online. So just go Google. You can Google nonviolent communication feelings and needs, and they have lots of really great resources to help you to put some words to what you're experiencing so you can figure that out a little bit easier. But as we're slowing this down, right, and saying, okay, what was I feeling? Oh, I noticed that I was feeling happy, or I was feeling excitement, or I was feeling joy or peace or whatever, right, in those moments. And you slow this down by drawing flower, as we've been taught. And then you move on to the next practice of, okay, what were the needs that were being met in that moment, right? It's like my need for connection was being met, or my need for physical nourishment was being met, or my need for rest was being met. And then you draw another flower. Like, instead of us being on the freeway and like just zooming through it, like, I'm so grateful for this and this and this and this and this, which is a good thing. But it's like, whoa, we're getting out of the car and we're going for a slow walk, right? And so you can like notice the flower, no pun intended, we're noticing the flowers that are around, right? Or the birds that are in the trees, or the grass that's growing, or the snow that's on the ground. Yeah. Or if it's dark or light, whatever, we're just slowing it down and noticing what you're noticing. And it does, it like, it's an activation of being fully present. And I think that's what Marshall is teaching us through this practice. And as Amy and I were talking about how to teach this, right? It's like, whether you choose to draw a flower or something else, like, that's, the point is not to draw the flower, right? But it is the point. It's like, the point is to slow down. And he's teaching us some really simple steps to just allow it to slow down so that we can get out of the freeway setting and get on our feet and take a slow inventory of what's actually going on, because it does. It's almost like it makes everything come alive in those moments when you just slow down and take in the breath, right? And like, watch what's going on around you rather than just zipping through it.
So what you said just then, coming alive.
Yeah.
When I first taught you this gratitude practice months ago on a discussion call that we had, you made this connection to the earth. Do you mind sharing?
Yes. So I love talking about these things, right? Because Amy brought this up and I'm like, yeah, I'd love to share this concept that I shared that day. But the reason I came up with this concept was because Amy originally taught this to me like long time ago. So Amy has been through been to some training courses that teach about permaculture. And if you don't know anything about permaculture, in a nutshell, how I describe permaculture is learning how to grow things in harmony with how nature does it. So instead of us recreating the wheel as humans, because we think we know better, us learning how to be in harmony and in tandem with the natural rhythms and cycles and flows of nature, because nature is super intelligent, that we like get, I don't know, this really cool force working for us instead of working against us, right? As we're trying to grow whatever we're trying to grow. And there's a lot of layers to permaculture, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Anyway, so permaculture, really powerful principle, and it's very principle-based, very, very principle-based in what they teach. And one of the many principles that they teach is this kind of slowing things down principle. What's the principle, actually?
Well, so I think you might have been in that moment specifically talking about one of the 12 principles in which you with water specifically you want to help slow it, spread it, and sink it.
Yes, that's the principle.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So there's, like I said, 12 principles. There's lots of principles in permaculture, and this is one of them, right? So when it comes to water, There's a water cycle, right? Like there's clouds that are full of water. It comes down, it gets into the earth, it goes into the rivers and lakes and the oceans, and then it goes back up into the clouds through evaporation, right? Like if there's that cycle, but I didn't understand until this permaculture principle was taught to me many, 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 many months ago that in permaculture, how nature does this is the earth actually creates like a sponge for water, and it like sponges up the water and then it stores it down below the earth's surface. I didn't know this until I was taught this through permaculture principles, and it was such a powerful thing for me because as Amy was teaching me this gratitude practice, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like that principle. It's like, and in permaculture, you can actually consciously shape and mold the earth to create what are called swales, right? And is there another word for it? Is that it?
That's one of the ways one of that the ways. You can shape and mold okay. the earth to capture water. So okay, yes.
Great. So there's different ways that you can do that, but in a nutshell, you're kind of creating a little bowl effect with the earth. And so when water comes from the sky, it hangs out there for a bit, and then it slowly sinks down into the earth, and then it becomes available for you later. And
it's like the best storage system.
Yes, that's what it is, because it literally sponges up this earth, the water into the earth, rather than the water going rushing off and going downstream and somewhere else. It's like if you've ever, literally, I keep talking about a sponge, but if you've had like a dry sponge before and you try and shove the whole dry sponge underwater, the water just runs off of it, right? But if you give it just a tiny little bit of water, it slowly is able to come back alive. Keep talking about these beautiful principles, right? It comes alive because it grows and it goes from this dry thing into this really wet, spongy thing because it's allowed the slow process to absorb what it needed to absorb. But if we throw a ton of water at it all at once, eventually it will sponge itself up again, right? But it takes a minute and it's kind of counterintuitive, but I think that's what this principle is about. And this practice that Amy shared with us today, it's like we are all just sponges. If you have never been exposed to this concept before, like the truth of the matter is that we as human beings are very beautiful and complex beings, and we have this intelligence force, this energetic intelligence that governs every aspect of who we are, and we're just sponges, like in a nutshell, to simplify that whole thing. It's like we're just sponges. Whatever we're exposed to, like if you walked into a room and people are fighting, like you can feel the energy, you can feel the tension of that, because we're sponges. But you can also walk into a really peaceful environment and feel that, because we're just sponging it all up, right? But at the same time, like sometimes we become dried out because we're not doing the things in our lives that create life, that help us to stay in that soft, supple, spongy space. This is turning into a sponge podcast instead of a gratitude podcast. Told you, queen of analogies. Anyway, but I think that that's the power of this, right? It's like allowing ourselves to become one with the principle, like we learn in permaculture, and like slowing the water flow down so that it can give us the life that we need. Gratitude is like, it's like life. It's like water for us. It helps us to feel more in tune with who we are. And by doing something like this, whether you choose to draw a flower or something else, or if you choose to just sit and like ponder and meditate for a few moments, the whole point of that, and from Amy and our conversation earlier is like to just slow it down and to allow you to really be present with what you're noticing. So
yeah. So if we can add to that, I'm seeing the water is allowed to slow and to sink into the earth. And then what yeah. comes from the earth in an area that's saturated with water that was allowed to sink in?
Right. Life.
Life. It's not desert. It's not dry, hard earth. It teems with life after that.
Yes, it does.
Right? So what then is the parallel for our soul when we slow down enough to allow the water of gratitude, the water of needs met, and the water of those positive feelings that ensue from our needs being met, to just slow down and sink in.
Life.
Like, right? our whole, I love the patterns can parallel each other between the earth and our being. So we are allowing that which nourishes life to sink more deeply into our souls.
Oh, that's so powerful. I hadn't gone there before. So, yay. This is the power of talking about principles, right? And like almost as we do this, as we're having this conversation today, it's almost creating like a mastermind effect. It's like, whoa, this is coming through me right now. Let me share this beautiful truth. And then you know, we're both doing that. That's really, really powerful. So, such a neat, powerful thing to even just ponder on, just that, right? Like what life could be coming through us as we create more ways to slow the gratitude or any other principle of truth down into our lives.
Slow it down, let it sink in.
So good.
Yes.
So good. Okay, beautiful. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We hope that this has impacted you. For the good, for the positive, for the better. We really do strive to teach you principles of truth, but principles of truth are beautiful, but really the power comes in us taking action on something and applying them into our lives. And not that you need to be perfect at anything that we've just taught today, but we encourage you to take action on this, right? It could be going through the steps that Amy shared with us today. But if your heart and your intuition is calling for something else in what you listened to today, to go and take action on, pay attention to that. Because that is your compass. That's your inner guide telling you, oh, go this way, do this thing over here, right? It may not be the words that Amy and I have spoken specifically today. So if you'll just give yourself a moment to sit and ponder, this is the sinking, like slowing it down and sinking it in process as well. We invite you to spend maybe just 10 seconds or 30 seconds and just ask yourself, what is it that really spoke to me today? What's a really life-enhancing thing that I can take action on to better my life today as a result of this? And then we invite you to go and take action on that. So we're grateful that you joined us today. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, and we love you. From our hearts to yours, thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are so grateful for you. We believe in you. If you'd love more of this great content, please consider subscribing. We'd love to support you even further by you joining our Facebook group community called The Journey of Wholeness, where we talk about principles to help empower and transform your life along your journey of wholeness. You can find out more details at thejourneyofwholeness.com.